Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second episode of the Matchpoint podcast. My name is Ben Atkinson, and I'm the host of Matchpoint. With episodes rolling out weekly, we'll be discussing ATP and WTA news, tournaments, matchups, players, and everything else on and off court. To keep up with us on the daily, make sure to head over to our Instagram at MatchpointPod and drop a follow. We are currently on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and a couple of smaller platforms. If you are watching us on YouTube, be sure to leave a like, comment, subscribe. If you want to ask any questions or be featured in the next episode, we'll respond to all the comments, and of course, we'll answer any questions you have. If you are watching on Apple Podcasts, we appreciate a rating, whether it's 5 stars or 3 stars, whatever it is. Give us your honest feedback. We take that. We use it to make the episodes better. Now, today we have a very special, important episode. We are talking not only about the Western and Southern Open, but also the U.S. Open. So we'll start off recapping what happened last week, the upsets, the crazy matches, and the champions in both the men and women's draws. And then we're also going to go over and preview the U.S. Open, which actually did begin today. So in terms of the Western and Southern Open, we're going to start by taking a look at the women's draw. So in the last episode, we did preview, we talked about some important matchups, but we had some big upsets, especially early on in the tournament. Right off the bat, Karolina Pliskova, the one seed, ended up losing to Veronika Kudermetova in her first match, 7-5, 6-4. Kudermetova, unseeded, beat Tom Janovich in the first round in 3 sets and beat Pliskova. And I gotta say, watching that match, Pliskova did not look like herself. She did not look like the one seed or the favorite to win this tournament at all. Kudermetova did end up losing to Elise Mertens in the next round. Mertens, who actually made it to the semifinals, had a really great match, ended up losing to Osaka, who we'll talk about in a second. Going down, we got the 5 seed Sabalenka, who actually lost, lost to Jessica Pegula, an unseeded player who ended up losing to Mertens in the quarterfinals. But Pegula, a great tournament for being unseeded, winning three matches. I mean, that's a great tournament, especially for her not having as much recognition. We go down to the 4 seed Osaka, obviously a big name player, had a pretty tough first match, losing the first set to Mikova 7-6, but closing it out 6-4, 6-2 in the last 2 sets. She then went on to beat Yastremska 3-1, a pretty easy match. And then won another 3 sets with Kontaveit, losing the first 6-4, but coming back 6-2 and 7-5. She then met Mertens in the semifinals and did end up winning that match. That one only stayed at 2 sets, won the first 6-2. Mertens started to figure out a little more in the second set, and Osaka ended up winning that in a tiebreaker in the second set. We go down to the bottom half. Actually, no, we don't. We start with Kvitova at the bottom half of the first half. If that makes any sense. She ended up losing to Buzkova first round, ended up winning the first set 6-2, but losing the next two 7-5, 6-2. So just another upset. Kvitova, the 6 seed, getting knocked out in her first match, and that's what we've seen, and we will continue to see as we go down this women's draw. A lot of upsets and a lot of big-name seeded players getting out early. And is this a result of there being no crowd, no fans to feed off that energy? I don't know, but it's definitely something that's definitely making an impact. And we see it in the men's draw too. When we get over there, you know, some upsets, some smaller players have been making, not smaller, but unseeded lower ranking players have been making some strides in these tournaments. So we'll go to the second half now. Joanna Konta, who had an amazing tournament, made it to the semifinals, beat Flipkins, Zvonareva, and ended up beating Sakkari. Sakkari, the 13 seed, also had a great tournament, beat Serena in the quarterfinals, losing the first set 7-5, but closed it out 7-6, 6-1. Overall, it was a decent tournament for Serena. She didn't play as well as I think that she could have. But Sakari looked great during their match. In terms of Joanna Konta and Sakari, Konta, Sakari, I think Sakari was definitely winded and definitely tired after a three-setter with Serena Williams, who is a player who makes you run, who makes you work for every point. So Konta beat Sakari 6-4, 6-3. But you put Sakari against a different player in the match before. Don't put her against the Serena. You put her maybe against a Madison Keys, who we will talk about, but a player who doesn't make you work as much as Williams does. I think it's a closer match between Sakari and Konta. Speaking of Serena Williams, she had a tough first match against Aramco Rus. Went three sets, winning both of her sets in a tiebreaker, losing the middle set 6-3. So Serena did have some tough matches. Both matches went to three sets, and she was only able to close out one of them. As we go down to the seven seed, Madison Keys, the defending champion that we talked about in the last episode, lost in her first match to Ann Jabeur, the Canadian, or not the Canadian, the Turkish. Madison Keys, 4-1, Jabeur beat her. So, another upset, especially from the defending champion. That is something that I don't think anyone expected. And as we keep going down, we've got even more upsets. Elena Rybakina, the 9 seed, lost to Alexandra Dova in the first round, 7-5, 7-6. The Donna Vekic, the 15 seed, lost to Victoria Azarenka, who we will definitely be talking about in a minute. 6-2, 6-3. Sofia Kenin, the 2 seed, and a big favorite, not to necessarily win, but a big favorite to get far in the US Open this week, lost her first match to Elise Cornet, 6-1, 7-6. So a pretty easy win for Cornet, and a tough loss for Kenin, and not a loss that anyone really expected to happen, I don't think. But we go on to Ann Jabeur, Azarenka. And Azarenka was just playing amazing this whole tournament. She ended up beating Ann Jabeur, meeting Konta in the semifinals, beating Konta, losing the first set 6-4, but coming back 6-4, 6-1, and making it to the finals. We did have that day where the US Open suspended play, obviously for some social justice reasons that were going on in the US. Osaka, who met Azarenka in the finals, was actually the first player to say, I'm gonna withdraw, although she didn't actually withdraw due to those reasons. But the finals were delayed one day, and the final was set to be Osaka Azarenka, but after Osaka's match with Mertens, she suffered, I believe, a left hamstring injury. So Osaka did withdraw, and Victoria Azarenka was the champion of the Women's Western and Southern Open, and a big, for me personally, a big favorite into the US Open. She played really strong matches. She looked really consistent. And again, it'll be interesting to see in a bigger tournament with more players who can stand out when there is no crowd. Now we go over to the men's draw, where we don't necessarily have as many upsets. We do, have who we expected to be the champion. Novak Djokovic did win. But we do have some interesting matches. So some of the matches that we talked about last episode that I said were really big matches to watch did turn out to be really interesting if you got the chance to watch. Shapovalov and Cilic. Shapovalov won that pretty easy, 3-3. We have Goffin, who was last year's 2019 the finalist. Goffin made it to the round of 16, ended up losing to Struff in a three-setter, which is, it's, Goffin losing to Struff, Goffin being the seven seed, you would expect him to win that match and go on to play Djokovic, and who knows what happened there, but he did lose to Struff, which is not what I would have expected from Goffin. Djokovic, as we said, did make it to the finals. His path was, I wouldn't say easy, but not necessarily hard. He beat Berankis in the first match, 7-6, 6-4. Then went on to beat Sangren, who was actually looking really strong against Felix Auger-Aliassime. But Djokovic beat him 6-2, 6-4, and then Djokovic beat Struff 3-1. He then met Bautista Agut in the semis. That did go to three sets. Djokovic losing the first set 6-4, and I'll tell you, after that first set, it looked like Bautista Agut was going to wrap up the match, but Djokovic fought back 6-4 and then 7-6, keeping Bautista Agut to 0 points in that final set tiebreaker, and Novak Djokovic made the finals. We'll move on to the bottom half, where we have Berrettini, who didn't make it as far, as we would have expected, but did play the big American server Opelka, who I think, you know, we're starting to get these younger players, Opelka, Zverev, Taylor Fritz, you know, like we said, Auger-Aliassime, these younger players are starting to creep up in the tournament, scorings and creep up in the rankings. Opelka, I think he's 6'7", 6'8", massive serve, beat Berrettini 6-3, 7-6, ended up losing to Tsitsipas, but we'll talk about why in a second. So we got Isner and Milman. Isner, another big server, the 16 seed two, beat Milman in three sets, ended up losing to Tsitsipas in two sets, but both going to a tiebreaker. And I gotta say, I watched that match, it was very close. Tsitsipas stayed consistent and didn't let Isner serve, you know, get the best of him. It didn't let him kind of scare him away from being aggressive. And Tsitsipas ended up winning that match. Then, like I said before, we have Tsitsipas and Opelka. Opelka, being 6-7, and I'm sure this contributed it, ended up retiring from the match after he was actually winning 6-5, but he did have a knee injury. And so Tsitsipas moved on to the semifinals, and we'll talk about who he faced in a minute. We go down to the bottom quarter. We start off with Alexander Zverev, who is the five seed, who got a bye the first round, and played Andy Murray, who just came off a three-set win against Francis Tiafoe. But Andy Murray looking really, really solid this tournament. Beat Zverev 6-3, 3-6, 7-5. If you watched the end of that match, you saw Zverev had it wrapped up, but could not close out on his serve, which is something that we've been seeing from Zverev for months, even years now. The double faults have been piling up in crucial times where he's got to make that serve. And like the commentators were saying, if you watch the match, Zverev does not have that safety serve that he can go to when his first serve and his second serve aren't being as consistent as he would like. He needs a serve that he knows he can make 75% of the time. And he just doesn't have that yet. So Murray was able to overcome Zverev, but ended up losing to Raonic, 6-2, 6-2. Raonic, obviously, we'll talk about in a minute, had a huge tournament, played really well, served as Raonic quite frequently is, was really strong, really powerful. We go down to the 14 seed, Gregor Dimitrov, lost to Vucevic. Three sets, ended up winning the second 6-4, but lost the other two 7-5, 6-2. Dimitrov, not the best tournament for him. I don't know if he was there mentally. He definitely didn't look there physically. And then we have Dominic Thiem, the two seed. One of the favorites to win this tournament and to go far in the U.S. Open, but Dominic Thiem lost to Filip Krajinovic, 6-2, 6-1. So a pretty easy win for Philip, and Thiem did not look like himself out there. He was not hitting how he's used to, not moving how he's used to, and Philip was able to take advantage of that. We then had, you know, Vucevic and Krajinovic. Krajinovic beat Vucevic 6-2, 6-1. Another easy win for Krajinovic, but he did lose to Raonic in three sets. Which is still impressive. Krajinovic had a huge tournament, but that puts Raonic and Tsitsipas at the other semifinal, awaiting Djokovic in the finals. Raonic did win that 7-6, 6-3. A pretty, not an easy match, but more of a relaxed match for Raonic, as Tsitsipas he wasn't as consistent and wasn't placing the balls where he needed to. That meant Djokovic met Raonic in the finals after dropping the first set 6-1. Djokovic fought back to win the title 6-3, 6-4 in the second and third sets. I'd have to say overall a huge tournament for Djokovic, for players like Opelka, for Krejcinovic, even for Raonic. It was a huge tournament, and not always the scores that we were expecting, but that's what makes these tournaments so interesting, is especially now with no crowd, how does this change the whole dynamic of how players are playing, what energy they're feeding off of? It's definitely interesting, and I think we'll continue to see that in the US Open, maybe even magnified, as we've got 128 players now. It'll definitely be interesting to see how the players react. So that is it for the Western and Southern Open. We're not going to cover the doubles, just because we also have to preview the US Open. But in terms of the Western and Southern Open, I'd say it was a great tournament overall. We had Djokovic and Azarenka as the champions. Djokovic obviously expected, Azarenka obviously not expected. But like I said, that's what makes these tournaments great. You never really know who's going to win, even if you think you do. So going up into the US Open, which did start today, and after we cover this, we will update on a couple of live scores, which will obviously have changed by the time that you are listening or watching this podcast. But first up, Pliskova, the one seed, playing Kalinina. My guess is Pliskova will win that pretty easily. And looking at the score, she is right now. She's up 4-2. It is due, so my guess is that will be a quick win for Pliskova. We got Angelique Kerber playing Tomljanovic. Kerber, looking at the scores, actually just won 6-4, 6-4. So Kerber will be advancing into the second round. Going down, we're not going to go too in depth into the draw here, but we do have Naomi Osaka. Hopefully, her left hamstring does recover and she is able to play Misaki Doi, both from Japan, but obviously Osaka is the favorite in that. And if she can stay healthy, in my eyes, she's a favorite for the entire tournament. I think she's got a lot to play for, and I think she's motivated, and I think that she's also someone who doesn't necessarily feed off the energy of the crowd as much as other players. And I think having no crowd will actually benefit her a lot. And that'll be interesting to see as the US Open continues. Going down, we've got Petra Kvitova, who is not currently playing. Kvitova playing Irina Camelia Begu. Now we go into the second half, Madison Keys versus Babos. With how Madison Keys was playing in the Western and Southern Open, I'd say she loses this match, but I think she's gonna win because I think she's taken this last week. She's taken it with her team, and they've planned and they've strategized and they've practiced, and I think she understood that she wasn't herself in that first match, and I think she's gonna come out hungry and motivated, and I see her round three, round four, maybe even the quarters, if she can get past Serena and Anisimova and Sloane Stephens, Muguruza. Madison Keys, definitely, I wouldn't say a sleeper, but definitely a player who's got potential in this tournament. That being said, Serena Williams, a three seed, playing Christy Ann, both from the US. Serena, a lot of talk about whether or not she could win another Grand Slam. And I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here, but I'll be honest, I don't think she can. I don't think we've seen that Grand Slam level of play from Serena in a while. We can definitely see you're making the semis, maybe even the finals, but like we saw against Osaka in the US Open, I don't think that she has what it takes anymore to win a Grand Slam, but I would love to see her prove me wrong. Going down, Sabalenka playing Dodin. Sabalenka, the 5 seed, should make it pretty far. We'll probably meet Konta, who had a great Western and Southern Open, like we talked about, Konta being the 9 seed. Obviously, Sofia Kenin, who got out early, is the 2 seed at the bottom. And hopefully, she's taking the time. And, I was watching the coverage a little bit earlier. She was out on the practice courts. Hopefully that she learned from that first match loss, and she's now ready to really take the US Open as seriously as she can, and hopefully go far. So taking a look at the men's US Open draw, obviously Novak Djokovic, the favorite to win at the 1 seed, and I'll be honest, I don't see anyone beating him. You got Dominic Thiem, but how inconsistent has he been? Very inconsistent. We saw it in the last tournament, and I think we're going to continue to see it until he can figure out who he is as a player, what his strengths are. He's got a great backhand, and until we can, or not we, but until he can really figure that out, I don't see him beating a player like Djokovic, and I don't even see him beating a player like Medvedev, Medvedev specifically is a player that I do think will go far, definitely, in this tournament. I think last year he made it to the finals, lost in that 5-set thriller to Nadal, but he likes these courts. He likes playing here, despite the crowd. I think he's gonna be motivated. And I think it'll be interesting. In terms of some other players in the top, we have Tsitsipas. Tsitsipas is a player that I don't see beating a player like Djokovic, but I do see beating a player like Zverev. Zverev, playing Kevin Anderson first round, which is a tough match. Kevin Anderson, being a, I believe, a Wimbledon semifinalist. Or even a finalist, if my memory doesn't fail me. But Kevin Anderson, a big server, it's gonna be tough for Zverev if he can't figure out that safety serve, like we talked about earlier. The double faults are becoming a really big problem for him, and that's definitely something that he has got to figure out with his team if he wants to be, a Grand Slam winner. So we're gonna take a look now at a couple of live scores. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about some recent tennis news that may have actually slipped under your radar with all of, the US Open happening. But in terms of tennis news, Carolina Pliskova, like I said earlier, was up 4-2. Kalinina has actually brought it back to 4-all, ended up breaking Pliskova and holding serve. So that would be an interesting match to watch, with DiLorenzo and Sasnovich. DiLorenzo winning the first set 6-2, but Sasnovich coming back in the second, winning it in a tiebreaker. Another interesting match, Diego Schwartzman against Norrie. Schwartzman winning the first 2 sets 6-3, 6-4, and about to hold serve. Looks like Schwartzman will come out with a win there. Jordan Thompson against Chavaglia. Thompson winning the first 2 sets 3-4, and they're on serve at 4-3 in the third set. I'd say that's a win for Thompson, but anything can change, as we know. Other than that, Borna Koric winning the first set 7-5 on serve, up 4-3, but down love 30. I think the bigger names are going to come on later in the day. But it's always good to watch these smaller players, like we talked about. There are some players who I think will slip under the radar, and absolutely will, break away from the other players. and who will start, you know, beating these bigger name players. Talking about slipping under the radar, I'm gonna read this title from Yahoo Sports. It says Novak Djokovic and John Isner resign from ATP to start this breakaway tennis group. Novak Djokovic, the number one ranked tennis player in the world, along with John Isner and Vasek Pospisil, have all reportedly resigned from the ATP to start their own organization, the Professional Tennis Players Association. According to the New York Times, Djokovic resigned from his position as president of the Player Council, and Isner resigned from his position as well. Pospisil has yet to resign. Oh no, that is not true. Pospisil is the only one to have publicly resigned. I'm sorry. But the interesting thing about this is we're not really sure what the group is seeking. Are they seeking more pay, more decision making, more power? We're unsure at the moment. And what's definitely interesting is Djokovic, you know, obviously a member of the big three, meaning Djokovic, Nadal and Federer. Djokovic not receiving support from Nadal and Federer. And said yesterday, Nadal tweeted that with the tough times that are going on in the world right now, we need to come together. And Federer retweeting and agreeing, saying this is time to come together, not to split apart. So it'll be interesting to see if after this organization, you know, says what they're trying to achieve, if then, you know, Nadal and Federer will voice their support for the organization. But until then, it's still unknown what this organization is trying to achieve, and you know, what the ATP's response will be. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is all we've got today for the second episode of the Match Point Podcast. Like we said in the beginning, make sure to check out our Instagram at Match Point Pod if you want to keep up with tennis updates when we post new episodes and any other fan interaction. We do it mainly on our Instagram account. If you are watching this on YouTube, be sure to leave a comment, like, subscribe. Like I said in the introduction, any questions you want to be answered in a podcast or privately, please ask away. I love tennis. I love tennis news, and I love giving tennis tips and anything else. So please do not hesitate to do that. If you're watching on Spotify, of course, we appreciate you. Keep streaming, keep playing. That means a ton to us here at Match Point Podcast. And if you are watching on Apple Podcasts, same goes for you guys. Keep streaming, keep listening. Specifically for Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave us a rating. Be honest. We love to hear what you guys have to say. Any feedback we take as you know, constructive as possible. We try to use it to make this podcast better, to give you guys the best listening experience. That is it for Match Point, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace.